The landscape in Arizona is changing. So is its political climate.
For decades, Arizona had a reputation as being a conservative haven. It introduced the country to politicians like Barry Goldwater and John McCain, hardliners like Jan Brewer and Joe Arpaio.
But Arizona's population continues to grow.
And the influx of new residents is changing our state's politics.
With the ever-changing landscape of Arizona's electorate, our state is looking more like one of those battleground states that presidential candidates will covet.
Once a reliably red state, Arizona has become increasingly purple.
In fact, NBC News named Arizona one of the top three states to watch during the upcoming election.
2020 could invite another blue wave in Arizona. While Republicans still outnumber Democrats in the state, recent polls indicate the potential for a shift to the left.
I'm Yvonne Winget Sanchez, a national political reporter for the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com.
And I'm Ron Hansen, also a national political reporter for the Republic.
As hosts of The Gaggle, an Arizona politics podcast, we're really curious about how the purple trend in Arizona is playing out across the state.
What issues are most important to voters in each congressional district? What are their thoughts on the upcoming election?
We've made it to 7 out of the 9 congressional districts. We've talked to voters in deep red districts like Sue from Paul Gosar's Congressional District 4.
And our nation was not founded as a socialist nation. You know, it's a republic and we're capitalists and we need to remain so.
And we've talked to voters in solidly blue districts like Tim and Raul Grijalva's CD3.
After Trump's, well, the Republican-led tax reform, it's the first time in my life that I owed the government money.
We met with representatives from across the aisle, and now we're heading to the final 2 districts on our list before voters head to the polls.
In this episode, we're introducing you to Congressional District 1. It's represented by Democratic Congressman Tom O'Halloran. O'Halloran has lived in Arizona for 25 years. Previously, he lived in Chicago and worked for the Chicago Police Department before moving to Arizona.
He's a former Republican state legislator who turned Democrat before running for Congress. He's served on Capitol Hill as a Democrat since 2017.
The first congressional district is one of the 3 that were drawn to be competitive in Arizona back in 2012. It's remarkable for having voted for Donald Trump in 2016 on the same night they first elected Tom O'Halloran to Congress as a Democrat. Generally speaking, Congressional District 1 is one of the older districts in Arizona. It's also predominantly rural, and O'Halloran said, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful district.
Geographically speaking, O'Halloran's district is immense. It's bigger than 26 states. It stretches from the Navajo Nation in the northwest corner of the state to the Grand Canyon and Flagstaff. From there, it heads south, covering Sholo and Globe. Then, it switches west to include Casa Grande and the city of Maricopa, just south of Phoenix.
So it's 58,000 square miles, 54% of the size of Arizona.
It's also important to note that local control was something voters in this area said was important. Kyle Nitzke is a 22-year-old Democrat. He's also the organizing director for the Arizona Students Association, which does most of its work at Northern Arizona University and in Flagstaff.
And I know we've had a lot of issues over the last 4 or 5 years with kind of our state government interfering in a lot of the things that our local politicians have tried to do in Flagstaff, from the plastic bag ban to some things we try to do around Airbnb and VRBO, and then the minimum wage they've been trying to interfere with as well.
The sheer size of the district means that its employers are different, depending on your location.
If you're talking about the region near Flagstaff or the Grand Canyon, the largest employers would be related to tourism.
If you're out of signal, you're either studying on the issues or you're enjoying the things that tourists do all over the world, is coming to the first congressional district and seeing the natural wonders from one end to another, actually.
The district has a huge amount of agriculture. In the Globe, Miami area, O'Halloran said there are some of the largest copper mines in the world.
And then you head down further south and you have the great technology industry that's associated with Oro Valley, Tucson, Marana, and thousands of workers that work within that industry.
At times, it seems like the only thing unifying the entire district is that it's not Phoenix or Tucson. We asked O'Halloran how he handles representing such a far-flung district.
For his part, O'Halloran tries to look for issues that unite his district and address them accordingly. One such issue is access to broadband internet. Many in his district are simply unable to access the internet, an issue that was exacerbated by the pandemic. After all, the lack of internet left students unable to attend school when it shifted to online only.
And that would have helped greatly during the pandemic. It's economic development, it's healthcare through telemedicine. Broadband is part of the structure that's going to bring all that together, allow rural America to compete with the rest of the country.
O'Halloran said he's worked with the Federal Communications Commission to get $16 billion to rural communities across the country for broadband initiatives. He's also involved in a mapping project related to broadband, and he realizes that the issue doesn't end when broadband arrives.
And we're also making sure that we understand that even within Casa Grande and St. John's and some of these other areas, and obviously tribal lands, the affordability of broadband is something that we have to overcome.
For voters like Kyle, the Democrat you heard from, well, he said that climate change was an issue that was at the top of his mind. O'Halloran expressed concern over issues related to climate change, but it's important to note that he spoke with them from an infrastructure standpoint, not necessarily diving into how rising temperatures and continued droughts are really changing life in the West.
At any rate, the largest environmental issues O'Halloran mentioned are related to water and forest conservation.
Well, there's a broad array of issues that are important to the district. We'll start up north with the cleanup of over 500 uranium mines on the Navajo Reservation, and no clear-cut way of identifying yet. With our work to the EPA, there's a concern about opening up new mines around the Grand Canyon area, and we haven't seen anything that would make me believe that they would not help contaminate, direct itself to contamination of the surrounding lands and water supplies.
O'Halloran also pointed to the need for conservation with forests in his district. He said there are parts of 6 national forests in his area, amounting to millions and millions of acres. Voters in his district echoed O'Halloran's concerns.
Brad Worsley is a 39-year-old Republican from Heber. He's also the CEO of Noble Power, which is a biomass-powered power plant. Brad said that whether or not you want to call it global warming, there's a reality we're facing with rising temperatures. And Brad said that reality is crucial for us to address.
So these fires that are burning across the western United States, watersheds that are depleting, concern about, whether or not we call it, global warming or just the reality of rising temperatures. What are we doing to preserve our forests, to preserve those carbon capture mechanisms and preserve our watershed and concern ourselves with the clean air realities of a forest fire?
Then, of course, there's the issue of water. O'Halloran's district has part of the Colorado River running through it. Water from that river travels across the state to places like Phoenix. His district also is home to the Gila River, Salt River, and the Verde River, as well as a fair amount of groundwater that's used in farming.
That's the water supply that runs down into the Phoenix area from the Salt River. And that's a critical aspect to the entire economy of Arizona.
Making sure our government is able to provide that water fairly among its rural and urban residents is a great concern.
Obviously, down south, we have a tremendous water problem with the farmers down there, and we have to resolve that. We worked very hard on the recent issues on the Colorado River with all the states, and we have to continue that process because that's a couple of billion dollars size of industry.
But there are voters in O'Halloran's district who really question the government's ability to address climate change. Sharon Foltz is a 66-year-old retiree from Marana. She's an independent voter, although she's registered as a Democrat to be able to vote in the last primary election. Sharon said that our government agencies don't coordinate enough in a meaningful way when it comes to really addressing the environment.
Every single federal, and this is not just unique to this particular Congress, it's been going on the last 25 years that I've been dealing with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and the Department of Energy and the U.S. Department of Forestries, and every one of them has their own agenda and they don't work together at all.
Other than the environment, O'Halloran said that one of the prime issues facing his district is saving rural hospitals and providing better care.
And our veterans have way too far to go for specialist and specialist care operations on that level. Bringing those specialists into rural hospitals is very difficult. There's a hospital up in the district that's been trying 2 years to hire a specialist, and they haven't been able to do it. And they're offering more money than the city is.
He also said the government needs to find efficiencies in terms of Medicare rather than just completely doing away with the system.
But Medicare is not an entitlement. We have paid into it for decades and decades and decades. So to call it an entitlement, it's an obligation of government who brought about the system in the first place because of the concerns of healthcare in America.
Sharon is the independent voter from Marana. She said she's not concerned about Medicare so much as Medicare for All. That's a legislative idea endorsed by the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. She doesn't think that system is financially sustainable.
And if we turn around and we tell everybody you can have health care without any cost and it doesn't matter how you act, we're going to just pay for it all, I don't know how we can sustain that. And that part scares me. Not so much for me, but for my grandchildren. It's just a lousy system.
But she voiced a similar concern to O'Halloran about the lack of quality healthcare professionals.
My physician of 26 years retired at age 61 because she just said she was under Accenture, which is, you know, the parent company of Carondelet. And when they bought out her practice, it was, you know, they cut her wages and increased the number of patients she was supposed to see. And she just said, this is not the kind of medicine I don't feel like I'm doing my patients justice. And she retired. So I'm very worried about having well-educated, well-paid medical personnel to be able to serve our aging population.
Healthcare has become a pressing issue in the district during the COVID-19 pandemic. O'Halloran's district includes 12 tribal nations. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit the tribal nations particularly hard. There are only 12 hospitals and health systems in the Navajo Nation, despite the fact that geographically, it's the size of West Virginia. Some don't have resources like running water, which is necessary for hand washing.
We interviewed Congressman O'Halloran just after he talked to the president of the Navajo Nation, Jonathan Nez.
They have a very big fear of what could come in later in the fall. And so that's problematic for a number of tribes. White Mountain Apache and Hopi and others, they're all very cautious.
The 1st Congressional District is also going through a financial crisis due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Tourism is down across the state. This has hurt O'Halloran's district, which relies on it as a large part of the economy.
But this is the key season right now for those weekdays to be filled up also. But the occupancy rates are way lower than they should be still. So we both through making sure that we have safety as a first line and people feel safe coming into our state, I think people will continue to come.
So how will people in the 1st Congressional District cast their votes? A young progressive Democrat, Kyle said he will be voting for Joe Biden, but his endorsement wasn't enthusiastic.
I'll be voting for Joe Biden, but I'm stoked about it. As a 22-year-old, I think we could have done better in the primary.
Meaning Bernie Sanders?
Honestly, any of the other moderate Democratic candidates, I think young voters would have been happier with as well, too. But I did vote for Bernie Sanders myself.
And he felt similarly about O'Halloran. Kyle will vote for him, but...
I would really like to see Tom take more serious action on climate. And I would like to see Tom push and support Medicare for All. I think he's accepts a lot of money from pharmaceutical companies and is kind of bought and paid for by the healthcare industry. And I'd really like to see him push forward and embrace Medicare for All. And
in fact, the Democrat Kyle seemed most excited about voting for was Mark Kelly. He's the one running for the Senate against Republican Martha McSally.
I'll be voting for Mark Kelly, and I'm pretty happy about voting for Mark Kelly. I've heard positive things about him as far as his stances on climate change and on gun safety.
For Republican Brad Worsley, voting this election cycle is pretty complicated. He said he's met O'Halloran a few times, and he thinks he's a nice guy. He also appreciates O'Halloran's more moderate approach. He thinks the congressman recognizes there are a fair amount of Republicans in his district and moves forward accordingly with his politics.
If you were to replace him or put someone else in there new, you know, it would not be the end of the world to me because I don't see that he's carried the water on the critical issues in our district.
Brad said he's conflicted about his options for the presidential race. As a Christian, Brad told us that he's prayed a lot about his options. He's concerned about President Donald Trump's conduct.
I don't struggle very much with a lot of the policy decisions he makes. I struggle with him as a person and how he speaks and how he acts and comports himself and the divisiveness and anger that is, I think, being festered and fed by his style of leadership.
But the other options on the ballot, namely the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ticket, don't adequately represent him.
I've been struggling with it, truly struggling with it, but at this point, I am planning to vote for Donald Trump.
When we interviewed Sharon, the independent voter, she hadn't made up her mind about who she would vote for in the presidential election.
I go back and forth. There's so many things about Trump that it just ticked me off, and I think he speaks before he thinks. He doesn't listen to good advice.
She also said she thinks Biden is a sweet man, but having a Californian like Kamala Harris on the ticket kind of scares her. At any rate, neither party has been able to clearly convince Sharon.
I get 5 or 6 texts a day from the Republican Party, and I get mailings from both parties. I get some texts from the Democrats, but not having been both a Republican and a Democrat within the last 4 years, as I get it from both sides. But I don't find any of it meaningful.
Although she's decided on the Senate race, she's going to vote for Republican Martha McSally. Sharon said that she's afraid Mark Kelly will be a puppet for Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
See, I don't think he will be an independent thinker, and it scares me that he will be out there making national policy.
So, knowing what we know about the first congressional district, let's dive into some afterthoughts, Ron.
Yvonne, Brad is the Republican who you interviewed for this episode. He said one of his concerns was how divided we were becoming as a country. And independent voter Sharon felt the same way.
And I guess my third issue and sadness is that we don't have any middle America anymore, that everybody is either very far left or very far right, and people can't even have a civil conversation.
And when we interviewed O'Halloran, we talked to him about how he's viewed as being a kind man by many. Some think of him almost as a small town mayor more than a congressional representative. Will that kind of more moderate stance help O'Halloran in this district, or will it alienate him from both progressive Democrats and staunch Republicans?
Well, I think staunch Republicans and progressive Democrats understand that Congressman O'Halloran has to be a moderate to win this district. He is, after all, a former Republican. His positioning as a moderate Democrat seems pretty consistent with his politics in the past. And folks in this district seem to be pretty familiar with him. If anything, one of the complaints that Sharon had about him was that she just hasn't seen enough of him. You know, this district is so wide and vast that and small townish that people like her really want to feel connected with their members of Congress. They want to see more of them. It sounds as though he's really doing a lot to get around in this district. But when it comes to his politics and to the issues facing everyday people in Congressional District 1, he seems very well versed in the issues and the people whose lives are really being impacted by them. I guess what I was struck by, Ron, and I hadn't really had much time in the past to really speak with the congressman, was just his very apolitical, nice guy sort of demeanor. Was that how he normally is?
Yeah. So one of the more amusing labels I've heard hung on Tom came from Representative Sherry Bustos, who referred to Tom as the mayor of Arizona's first congressional district, which seems appropriate. It's a rural district by and large. It has medium-sized places like Flagstaff in it. And it's really so diverse, both geographically and just sort of in terms of the issues that are in front of everybody there, that you really do kind of have this mayor relationship, it seems like, where you're just trying to stitch together enough constituencies. And I think Tom's rather affable nature serves him well there. He is known there. He's done more town halls for himself than the rest of Arizona's delegation combined. So if you haven't seen him, it's only because you haven't gotten out and looked, because he is out there and has really sort of made that one of his calling cards as a member.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if this small town mayor persona works for O'Halloran as he mounts yet another reelection campaign. He faces Republican Tiffany Shedd. She's an attorney, and she's really mounted a competitive campaign against him.
Yeah, so Tiffany is a lawyer and cotton farmer and is, as she likes to remind people, sort of this district. She has been there, grown up there, and really understands the issues of rural Arizona, is how she's really casting herself. This is a tough race for Democrats in some ways just because it's unfamiliar. If you look at 2016, when Tom O'Halloran was first elected to Congress, he ran against Paul Babiou, the former Pinal County Sheriff, who was really sort of a controversial figure for his stewardship of a private school in Massachusetts. Then in 2018, Tom defeated Wendy Rogers, another controversial Republican who really came under fire for some of her views on Social Security, among other things. So in Tiffany Shedd, Democrats really face somebody that they haven't seen before, and that's a Republican who's really kind of normal. And it's interesting because this is a district that voted for Donald Trump by one percentage point in 2016 and is expected to be competitive there again. So Tiffany Shedd has really sort of tied herself to the president and made clear she is a supporter of his agenda and is running against O'Halloran, who she has cast as really sort of a supporter of Nancy Pelosi.
And the president has supported Shedd as well, right?
That's right. He really had some harsh words for Tom O'Halloran recently, and sort of echoing the attack lines from Tiffany Shedd, called Tom O'Halloran a puppet for Nancy Pelosi. So again, the president's brand is still expected to be strong in that district, and Tiffany Shedd is counting on that to help see her through. Yvonne, what is the president's chances in this district? How is he expected to fare in this rural Arizona outpost?
Well, as you noted earlier, he won in 2016 in this district by just one percentage point, just a sliver. This is all going to come down to turnout in 2020. Republicans have been trying to turn out new voters, really knocking on doors and registering folks to try to get out the vote. I mean, they've been working rural Arizona hard, and O'Halloran's district is no exception. So we'll see what the Democratic enthusiasm is going to be in 2020. And really, it will all turn on that enthusiasm for both parties. Well, we will be watching your coverage on election night of the congressman's race against Republican Tiffany Shedd. She has mounted quite the opposition campaign against him, and we'll be excited to see how that turns out, no matter what happens. And that is it for today, Gaggle listeners. Thank you so much for listening to our special episode on Congressional District 1. Audio in today's episode came from KPNX 12 News and Arizona Public Media.
If you haven't noticed, we dropped two episodes of The Gaggle today. So if you haven't listened, go check out the last of our Congressional District series, where we visit Congressional District 6 and speak with Congressman David Schweikert. Subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss a single episode.
And while we still have you, please don't forget to rate and review our show and share it with a friend. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Yvonne Winget.
And I'm at Ronald J. Hansen, and that's H-A-N-S-E-N.
Today's episode was edited and produced by Katie O'Connell with help from Maritza Dominguez and Taylor Seeley. Thanks so much for listening to The Gaggle, a podcast from the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. We'll see you next week.